The schedule throws the Boston Celtics a curveball. Danny Ainge talks about the defense. And is there pressure on Ainge and Brad Stevens this season? We're going to talk about it on this Friday Locked On Celtics. Bill, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hope you are enjoying the podcast on a daily basis, and I hope wherever it is that you're going and whatever it is that you're doing while you listen, it is brightening your day. I'm John Corrales. I host the show. I cover the Celtics, and I am the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available at bookstores everywhere. Please pick it up. It's a nice, fun little book that if you're not familiar with Celtics history, I think it will be a fun kind of dance through the years and all of those banners. Today, the schedule, some adjustments to the schedule. I'll run through those. Danny Ainge was on the radio. He had some interesting comments about the Celtics defense. And then in segments 2 and 3, I had a nice long conversation on the Big Jab in Portland, Maine. We covered Brad Stevens' rotations, Tristan Thompson, pressure on Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, and a look at the rest of the East. Wide-ranging interview that covers segments 2 and 3. So let me start with the adjustments to the Celtics schedule. The Raptors at Celtics game that was originally Friday the 12th is now the day before, Friday the 11th. Detroit at Boston, which was originally Sunday the 14th, now moves to the 12th. They add a back-to-back. Boston at Washington, which was postponed and was going to go into the second half of the schedule, now moves to Sunday the 14th. So what does this mean? The Celtics now have 16 games in February, 16 games with only 11 days off. So here's the February schedule. It starts on the West Coast. They do Golden State on the 2nd and a back-to-back at Sacramento. A day off, play the Clippers. A day off, play Phoenix. A day off, play Utah. A day off and then come back and play a back-to-back, that Toronto-Detroit back-to-back that was rescheduled. So right there is what? 3 games in 5 days, followed by 4 games in 6 days. I'm not even going to do that because there's too many, this many games in this many days. So we're up to a Toronto-Detroit back-to-back. A day off, go to Washington. A day off, come back. Denver and Atlanta, back-to-back at home. A day off, 2nd game of an Atlanta miniseries there. A day off, travel to New Orleans. A day off, travel to Dallas. Play back-to-back in Atlanta the next day. Day off, home against Indy. Day off, home against Washington. That is a brutal schedule. Brutal. And I'm sure when we ask the Celtics, they're going to say, hey, everybody's going through it. We just got to deal with it. You got to hit curveballs from time to time. I can basically script out Brad Stevens' response. I'm sure privately, when Brad Stevens looks at this, he just looks at the schedule and goes, Jesus Christ, how are you going to play? And we get into this a little bit with the Brad rotations talk in the next segment. But when you look at Brad Stevens using 12 guys into the first and second quarter in that game against San Antonio, and people say, well, why aren't you playing Jason Tatum more, Jaylen Brown more? They're in their 20s. Like, this schedule here is such an insane schedule that you cannot put 40 minutes a game, 38 minutes a game onto the legs of anybody of any age. You just cannot do that. This team is going to have to spread the wealth and sit guys down. Think about that. One, two, three, four back-to-backs in this. That's going to be four games in this stretch of 16 that will not involve Kemba Walker. Because he's not going to play in any of these back-to-backs. And Brad Stevens wasn't even going to take him off his minutes restriction for the next few weeks. And we're already, this is the January 29th show. The Celtics have 2 days off. They play the Lakers on Saturday, and then it's off to the races in February. Like, this is going to be nuts. So Brad Stevens has to preserve the legs of everybody. I'm sorry, that's just how it's going to be. And that's why it's so important for these other guys to step up. And it's so important for these guys to play connected. It's so important for these guys to put in the effort. So when they play games like they did against San Antonio and they have a lead and it's comfortable, to put them away, and it's going to be hard to do that, but some of these games, when you have early leads, the best chance you have to get rest is to seriously play your absolute best, see if you can push a lead far enough out where you can take fourth quarter minutes off and you can get 32 minutes instead of 37 minutes. And those extra 5 minutes doesn't sound like much, but it adds up. But the problem with the Celtics is that they're not playing connected all the time. It's something I talked about in that post-game podcast after the Spurs game. They're not playing connected. They're not playing together. Their defense is too lazy. And so I said what I said in that game. Danny Ainge was on Toucher and Rich. And I'm going to play you this little minute and a half clip from his appearance on Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And listen to what he says and how similar it is to what I said.
It is painful to watch at stretches last night, the defensive effort. And then, you know, with defense, it's the frustrating thing about defense is you'll have a guy that gets beat and, you know, he raises his hand or pounds his chest, you know, like, my bad, and you know, so then he plays hard the next time, and then it's someone else. You know, in defense, you just have to all five guys be on the same page and work together. And I'm definitely not making excuses as I evaluate this team, but we have had little practice time. We have had injuries and had a few guys that haven't played, but the little practice time and the execution of our defense is bad. I mean, in Brad's whole time here, in his 7 years, we've been a much better defensive team than I would have projected based on our personnel and based on size and of our team. And he's been able to find teams to play defense, but we have spent a lot more time in practice in the past. If we go on the road now, you can't even leave the hotel. And anyway, it's just a difficult time. Again, it's not an excuse because we just showed against Cleveland. And I thought through half of our Chicago game, you know, after being embarrassed with our defense in Philadelphia, the team responded. So I know it's in there. I know it's in them. But if you don't play defensive consistently, I mean, you just don't go on the road and give up 56% shooting and win.
The Celtics just need to be more connected on defense. They can't have guys here and there not giving full effort. They're going to screw themselves with this schedule, this February schedule, which has become a bear, which was already a bear, but has gotten worse. They're going to screw themselves if they're not putting forth this effort. And it's going to be tough because they're going to be tired. And there's going to be tough teams to defend. Golden State, they're not a great team, but they're going to be hard to defend. Sacramento, the Clippers, obviously. Phoenix, obviously. Utah right now is the best record in the league. You got to play Atlanta 3 times. They're hard to guard. They're not a good team necessarily, but they're hard to guard. You're going to be very tired chasing those guys around, chasing Trae Young around screens. That's going to be tough. So the Celtics, They have to find it within themselves. And I've said similar things like this to that in the past. You got to find it somewhere within you to put forth the effort defensively and let that flow into your offense. And that's how they're going to get through this beast of a schedule. And they're going to go 15 deep. They're going to go 17 deep. Taco Fall is going to get minutes in February. He's going to have to. You know, they just don't have enough. They just don't have enough. They're going to rely on everybody. So that's my thought on the defense. That's Danny Ainge on the defense. Again, that was courtesy of Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub, where he does a regular Thursday appearance. When I come back, I'm going to share the two parts of my conversation. We went about 18 minutes, so I'm going to split into two parts with the Big Jab in Portland, Maine. So up next, our conversation will include the Brad Stevens rotation, Peyton Pritchard, and Tristan Thompson. If you are so inclined to bet on basketball or football, the Super Bowl is coming up, you should be doing it with betonline.ag. It's the one place that has you fully covered and the one place we trust. And I know a lot of us, a lot of you who are listening around the world, you have other sports that you watch, other sports that you bet on, other leagues that you enjoy. I bet that that's on betonline.ag as well. So sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So whether you want to bet on the Super Bowl, Celtics games, other things, it's all going to be on there at betonline.ag. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Please gamble responsibly. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Obviously, I'm sitting here covering everything you need to know about the Celtics, but what about the rest of the sports world? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered as well with the Locked On Today podcast. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. It's perfect. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I do a regular hit on the Big Jab in Portland, Maine. Those guys are great. Chris Adenka, Javier Garrity. I've been doing it for a long time, and we always have a nice long conversation. That's why I love doing it, because we talk for like 20 minutes. And I thought today would be a great time to share it because, you know, the extra day off, and these guys are asking questions that maybe I wouldn't have thought to cover on the podcast. So I apologize for half of it. This my half now is going to be me on the phone talking to these guys, but there are some really interesting questions, and I thought it would be fun to kind of share this with you. Now, this started off before I hopped on. There was a kid who called in, which was really funny. So that's the beginning of this conversation with me on the Big Jab in Portland.
All right, welcome back. BMJ, Green Danks. I'm talking about C's. Our buddy John Corral, Celtics Insider, Locked On C's podcast. Joins us now. You can find him on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. And, you know, the first rule of show business is to never follow a child act. You guys kind of screwed me over here.
Sorry. You heard Baby Gary?
Yeah, yeah.
I hope we can get him in trouble.
There's only one way he's going to learn his lesson.
I guess that's true.
Good point.
But, man, now I feel like bad about it. It was fun.
You should.
Yeah. Yeah, so now I'm conflicted, John. I'm conflicted.
Yeah, it happens.
All right,
life's full of tough lessons. Anyway,
I guess you're right. Let's talk some C's. Tough loss last night, but the thing that I think the most repetitive, or, and I don't mean that in a bad way, I just think the call that happens the most often when it comes to the Celtics always comes back to Brad's rotations. I think it was 12 guys in the first half last night. And this is a young team, and outside of guys like Kemba who need to have their situation managed. But what's your sense of that? Because I understand like the argument for not wearing guys down, but you also have guys who are like 22 years old, and you see, you know, so in your mind, what's your take on all that?
Well, look, You have Jason Tatum, who is in his second game back from a COVID fight, where he did have some symptoms. It wasn't too bad, but still hadn't played in a couple of weeks. Kemba is still on a minutes restriction. You don't want to play Jaylen Brown 40 minutes a game because what's the big joke with Tom Thibodeau? That he doesn't rest his guys. We can't sit here and make jokes that Tom Thibodeau never rests his guys and then turn around and be like, well, you know, Brad Stevens doesn't play his guys enough. Like, there's a balance here. And I think that, sure, there are always going to be some questions. Why this guy? Why not that guy? Why not Robert Williams? Well, you know, Robert Williams coming back off the COVID thing too. So I don't know exactly how ready he is to play 25 minutes. There's a lot of experimentation going on at this point. This is the first time they had Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. So now Brad Stevens has to figure out what rotations work with those guys. Who can play with those bench minutes? Is Jason Tatum with the bench the right answer because it was in the bubble? Is that still the right answer? Does Jaylen Brown get a run with those four bench guys or three bench guys? Does Kemba Walker get a run with those three or four bench guys? There's still a lot of figuring out to do here. So I think that I get it in a vacuum with the blinders on for this one game. You say, well, this doesn't make any sense for this one game. But fans who watch basketball only focus on one game. But Brad Stevens and any coach and any team, they're not just focused on that particular game. Yeah, they want to win, but they've got a lot of stuff to figure out, and they're trying to figure out what's going to work best by the time they get to the playoffs. And this type of experimentation, it's all part of it.
John, it's crazy to say. I don't think any of us would have said this before the season, but the injury to Pritchard has certainly made an effect on this team.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I would have thought that his energy could have helped in that game. And especially, you know, whenever the Celtics feel like they're kind of listless, that he's the type of guy that you want to throw in there and just have him attack a defense. When the ball's not moving, you have him, you throw him in there, and it's like throwing a grenade into the middle of that offense. It forces the defense to scramble, and he would certainly help. Now, at the same time, I don't want to put that much on a rookie because it's possible that he could go in there and suck, and he has had stretches where he's been bad. So just like a rookie, I mean, that he has had stretches where he looks like a rookie, and we can't let the fun and the more good than bad let us forget that there are going to be some stretches, and we have to be fair to him that he's going to have some stretches where he's going to be bad. He's not going to be the right option. And so, but yes, the Celtics do indeed miss him. And when you see how Jeff Teague has played, he hasn't been overly effective. And I think that we're seeing if Peyton Pritchard had gotten Jeff Teague's minutes last night, then the things might have gone a little bit differently. Maybe they would have built out a bigger lead. Maybe some of the rotations would have been a little bit different. But it's a testament to Peyton Pritchard to how well he's played, how quickly to get us to say something like this.
John, Thompson's been in and out a little bit, but where do you think his game is, and do you think the Celtics are going to look to, you know, beef up in the middle even more than they have?
You know, Tristan is interesting that it hasn't gone like we thought it would. And now we're kind of in this question. Is it because he's just not as good as he used to be? Or is he just suffering from he hadn't played in a long time because he was with Cleveland and they were out. So he hadn't played since March, comes back, has a hamstring injury, misses camp, comes in, they're playing this weird too big lineup that they're not going to be playing when they're at full strength. I'm just trying to figure out where along the way it's been fair to Tristan Thompson to get the full evaluation, and I just don't think that it has. I think the Tristan Thompson that the Celtics are looking for is the guy that works alongside Tatum, Brown, Kemba Walker, and Marcus Smart, or if it's not Marcus Smart, at least a four that can spread the floor, maybe like a Grant Williams or a Semi Ojeleye, or the player to be acquired with the traded player exception. So I still think there's a wait and see with Tristan Thompson, with the acknowledgement that it has not gone well so far. He's done some good things, but he has also not done everything that the Celtics have thought he was going to give them when they acquired him. So hopefully between now and March, whatever the end date of the first half is going to be, however they decide to reschedule things, hopefully between now and then, with this full, almost full roster, we get to see a little bit more of what Tristan Thompson has to really offer the Celtics.
What about Nesmith, the other rookie? It seems like he's getting a few more minutes as of late, and of course with COVID and everything else going on.
Sure.
Like you mentioned, it's going to be a lot of experimentation, but seems like he's getting a little bit more confident, especially with his shot.
Yeah, you know, it's that's the big thing. That's the number one thing that I've been focused on with him, is making sure that he can regain his confidence, or at least not lose his confidence. I think what you're seeing is he's a little bit calmer on the court. He's not as just not as rushed. He's starting to understand some of the things that are necessary on the defensive end. And if his mind is calmer on the defensive end and he can actually make some decent plays there, then his mind will be calmer on the other side, because he's not worried about, oh, I screwed that up. Oh, I was supposed to be here. What did I just do wrong? And then when he gets the ball, his mind is actually too busy to really be in the moment and shoot the ball. So playing better on the defensive end, which he has, I think, noticeably been better. Not always great, but because he was so bad before, he's noticeably better. That's allowed him on the other end to just be a little calmer, catch and shoot, make some nice plays, a couple of plays off the bounce, you know, a nice pass here and there. So a nice progression for Aaron Nesmith, and we're seeing him get into these games. Now, he wasn't really great last night in San Antonio, but at least he's starting to earn a little bit more time out there, just earn a little bit more trust. And again, we're looking at getting from here today on January 28th to potentially July and a deep playoff run. This is the type of stuff that we're looking for from him that could maybe make him a contributor when the Celtics get to that goal.
More with these guys next. They asked me, when can we expect to see this Celtics team show some results? So I answer that question next. And also, is there pressure on Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, and the Celtics team to kind of win now? So that's all coming up after the break. So grab a Built Bar, enjoy it while you're waiting for the next segment. It's a perfect snack that you can eat in this couple of minutes. It's a good size, good consistency, good flavor, good everything. I've been eating protein bars for a very long time. I mean, I'm a former athlete, so I remember having some of these bigger, denser, chalkier protein bars after workouts when I was younger. But now, these are just perfect. They taste like candy bars, but they're healthy for you. There's 18 flavors, plenty of them that work for you if you've got a nut allergy. They don't have nuts in them. They're covered in chocolate, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great if you're on one of those keto diets. Go to BuiltBar.com. They've got a bunch of other products too. They've got this immunity formula powder that you can throw in there. They've got a vitamin boost powder that you can have. They got a bunch of different things. You can mix and match. Go check it out. If you just want to try the Built Bars, whatever you want to try, sample it. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. You're going to get 20% off your next order. I recommend that you buy at least one box of the sampler, the mixed box. Try the different flavors. And then when you pick one or two or three that you like, go back, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% each time you shop at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. You guys have to listen to the Rejecting the Screen podcast this week, because Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov have been honoring Kobe Bryant's life, his career, with a special two-part podcast event. You're going to hear stories that you haven't heard anywhere else. They talk to teammates, opponents, people who covered him, coaches. So make sure you get both parts by subscribing to Rejecting the Screen. It's a really good show in general, but this week has been great. So check them out after you're done listening to Locked On Celtics. Now I'm going to continue my conversation with the guys up on the Big Jab in Portland, Maine. Again, we're going to start off here with when we can expect results from the Celtics team.
John, on this trip out west, like you mentioned, it's so hard to sort of piece all this together because guys are in and out of lineup for a myriad of reasons, and COVID obviously being one of those. But at some point in the season, and it's going to be tough because I think, the league's sort of dealing with this. We've had a bunch of games canceled, sort of throughout, and different teams are dealing with this thing. But at some point, assuming the season continues to go on and they avoid all this stuff, you get through the All-Star game, at what point do you think it's important to see, what this is really going to be?
I mean, I think at the very least, we should start to see it soon. You want to get your full complement together, right? So now we're here. Now Peyton Pritchard's a week and a half and away, but we're basically here now with most of these guys. So we want to start seeing results within the next few weeks of Kemba, Jalen, and Jason starting to figure out this is how we play together. The defense, which has been spotty at best, and I'm being polite, that is something that they need to really focus on. And that's effort. And that's something you need to start seeing sooner than the offensive stuff. The defensive effort, the understanding of where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do. Because the Celtics are not going to invest a ton of money in their center spot. They're not going to go out and get Andre Drummond. They're not going to go trade for a big time center. They're not going to go into the James Wiseman sweepstakes. That's not their style. They're perimeter oriented, switchable wings, and those switchable wings are supposed to be the first line of defense to prevent a lot of that penetration, to take the pressure off of their centers. Because Daniel Tice can do pretty well protecting the rim, but he's not the best rim protector in the world. Neither is Tristan Thompson. Robert Williams is probably the best of them. But still, you can't put too much pressure on those guys because none of them is an elite center. So I need to see, first and foremost, the perimeter defense start to come together. And then within the next few weeks, let's start seeing this offense come together. And then once we get into the second half of the season, we're, March, April, the Celtics should be starting to really ramp up. And that's, if they're not playing good basketball when they come back to start the second half of the season, then we're going to have to reevaluate things, because then we're going to start to wonder if they can ever get it together.
I think Christian Wood could possibly get back into in the mix. I mean, those were all the rumors last year, right? And I feel like the name is kicking around again.
I don't see why it should be kicking around again. I don't think he's in the mix. I think that ship has sailed. He's found his home.
He has.
Yeah. It'd be silly for Houston to move him. That's exactly the type of player that you want down there. Good young player. That's part of their future. They're now trying to maybe if they overvalue or people overvalue him in a couple of years, but not now. No, if we were looking for Celtics trade targets, it's not going to be. It's going to have to be somebody with probably some flaws or a weird kind of decision. I'm still looking at Aaron Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at, but beyond Aaron Gordon, I think Aaron Gordon might be the best of them. But I just don't see. The Celtics can acquire him through the TPE, but
right.
What's Orlando going to want? What's that going to cost? That's the question. But, I keep going back to Kelly Oubre, who's not ideal, but he's a wing that you could probably get for nothing because Golden State is going to want to drop their tax bill significantly. Trading him for nothing is going to save them tons of money, tens of millions of dollars. So that makes sense from their perspective. Does it make sense from Boston's perspective? Some people say yes, some people say no. I think it's kind of a 65 to 70% fit. So, but no, Christian Wood, no.
John, just to pick up on what you said earlier, or sort of dovetail it, how would you quantify this year as far as like the importance of this group and just to continue to move forward? You know, is it a big year for the Celtics? And again, I think we all understand that like Ainge and Stevens aren't necessarily going anywhere, but there's sort of this growing unrest amongst the fan base, I think. And I think it's kind of legit, right? No matter how you slice it, it's been a long time. So how important is this year for all of that, do you think? Do you think there's some urgency here?
I don't think that there's I don't think that there's any sort of rush on the part of Danny Ainge or Brad Stevens. Like, when we talk about urgency, we're talking about a couple of guys that are looking for, like, job security. A GM that's going to give up a ton of draft picks that just to get a star and hope for the best. You know what I mean? A coach that's going to make decisions to kowtow to a star player, hoping to ingratiate himself with that player so he doesn't get fired. These guys are so secure that there's no urgency to say, we got to make these moves to win now. There's urgency for Danny Ainge to use the traded player exception because that expires, and using it in season is probably his best option. Once it gets past the trade deadline, it gets a lot harder to use. But it's not something that's so urgent for these guys that they think, like, okay, we gotta make these rush moves. I think we'll probably hear from Wick Grosbeck at some point, if it doesn't happen this year, to say whether it's a quote unquote vote of confidence, and not that kiss of death vote of confidence. I think that the Celtics do understand that now is the time with Tatum and Brown that the championship window is opening now. But I don't think there's like that hot seat type of pressure on these guys.
John, when you look at what you've seen from Philadelphia, Nets, Milwaukee, and what else are you seeing right now in the East, and in your opinion, who's looking the best?
Well, I mean, Philadelphia obviously is, I would say they're probably looking the best because Joel Embiid is playing his best. And they're, to have Joel Embiid playing this well, with, you know, under a new coach, and if Ben Simmons can kind of figure out a little bit at how he fits in here and play better, they're on the upswing. They're dangerous with the shooters around them. I think they're very dangerous. Milwaukee is figuring out a new offensive style. Giannis is struggling a little bit. They might be the most dangerous of them all because Giannis is struggling to figure out how to best thrive in that offense, and he's still putting up like really great numbers. By the end of the season, if he figures out this offense like he figured out the last offense, then Milwaukee can become very dangerous. Brooklyn has obviously the most talent, but we've seen, I think right now, they're very much figuring it out. James Harden has come in and he's just kind of deferred. For a guy that has had astronomical usage rates and has been so incredibly ball dominant, just to watch him take 10 and 11 shots is like, is this right? did they get James Harden, or did they pull like the Memphis Grizzlies trade a couple years ago where they had like the two wrong names? They're like, no, we meant the other guy. So James Harden, I think there's a lot of potential there as well to be an offensive juggernaut, but there's still also they're not going to be, they're just not going to be a good defensive team. So Milwaukee has, I think, the most dangerous potential to be the juggernaut in that Giannis can be the best player and they're going to work well together and be an elite defense. Philly, I think, is Philly and Brooklyn are like tied for second, and those, how they figure themselves out is going to really shape how dangerous they are. And I think the Celtics at their best are going to be like right behind those three teams.
If you're in the Portland area, you can check me out there every Thursday, generally at 6:30. I move around a little bit, but generally at 6:30 on Thursdays, or you can just Google the Big Jab if you want to listen to it, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, if you want to check me out live. The Celtics play the Lakers on Saturday. I will not be doing a podcast Saturday night for Sunday morning. I will be on the Big Jab Sunday morning, though, so you can check them out at 10:30 a.m. I'll be talking about some of the game there. And then on Sunday night, I will record a podcast covering the Lakers game for Monday morning, so you get a Monday through Friday podcast all next week. I will be up late watching all of these West Coast games and giving you post-game podcasts after those. So make sure you're subscribed if you're a new listener to get these podcasts directly to your device. Whatever podcast service you use, Locked On Celtics can be found there. Regular listeners, I appreciate your support. I appreciate you sticking by me through all of this, you know, these changes over recent years. The show has been growing a lot, and I really, really appreciate that because you've been rating it 5 stars. You've been giving it good written reviews. I really appreciate that. That helps people find the show. It helps push the show up in the rankings. And of course, sharing it, getting more people to tune in. The downloads are really the most important thing. So share the podcast. Tell your friends they should be listening to the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.